Amen. Thank you again for being here. Thank you for just all that you do and all that you are. I realize there's 1,000 options, particularly this time of year, particularly in East Tennessee, with all of these lakes around us and all of these things to do and the Great Smokies and just an incredible place to live and serve. One of the things we were talking about this morning in the green room, it is the first Sunday in months and months and months that we didn't have baptism scheduled. Now, we have more on the horizon, but folks, just this year, 210 people have already been obedient to the faith, followed Jesus, and been baptized by immersion in celebration. 210 already, and in addition to those, 300 and I don't remember the exact number, 330, 340, some people have joined our fellowship of faith. We're going to talk about our fellowship today, our family of faith. And so it's been an amazing thing, about 500 different people when you add it all up. It's an incredible thing that God is doing here. And so I want us to review, I want us to talk about this little light of mine. Of course, we're going to let it shine, right? We're not going to hide it. We're not going to let the enemy come along and blow it out. And so let's go back and review. Now, the reason I know this is about the Word of God, the parable leading up to it is the parable of the four soils. And he talks about the seed being the Word of God. And it needs to produce. And when it produces, it gives fruit. And that fruit is visible. And remember, how we hear and respond to what we hear affects what they see. How we hear affects what they see. And so when we really read our text again in a minute, we'll recall that the Word of God was not given to be hidden. The Word of God was given to illuminate. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We remember that light reveals and that the Word of God is light. So why is it so essential? Well, it reveals the truth about God, right? It reveals the truth about man. It reveals God's purpose for our lives. It reveals what God expects of us and what we can expect of God, that God can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. The Word of God reveals how we can be transformed completely and totally transformed by the gospel. And the Word reveals how powerful and personal and purposeful it is. It will never go forth and return void. It will accomplish that for which it is sent. And so when we think about all of those things, we think about, okay, the Word of God is that central. It's not just about knowing the Word. It can't just be about knowing the Word. And Jesus is going to take in our story and he's going to show us, no, it's not just about knowing the Word. It's about being a hearer and a doer. Stand with me as we honor the reading of God's word, and we're going to review 16, 17, 18, and then focus on 19, 20, and 21. Luke 8, verse 16, Jesus says, "No one, when he's lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but he sets it on a lampstand that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Therefore, take heed how you," now watch this, this is for the disciple, for the Christ follower, "take heed how you hear. Listen to the word, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have will be taken from him." Now, we have a shift in the story, don't we? "Then his mother and brothers came to him and could not approach him because of the crowd. And it was told him by some who said, 'Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you.' But Jesus answered and said to them, 'My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it.'" Heavenly Father, thank you for this amazing little section. I've had to read it and reread it and study it and restudy it because, Lord, honestly, you know my heart. If this feels a little harsh to me, it feels like, it almost feels unnatural in a way, but the more I've read it and studied this text and the ones that are parallel to it in the Gospels, the more I believe you've softened me to what Jesus is actually trying to teach us, more of what the Lord really wants us to understand. And he's not trying to say that family's not important, but he is saying that there is preeminence in hearing and obeying the word of the Lord. And so I pray today that we would be hearers and doers as we go forth. Tomorrow, many of us will be gathered around friends and family. We'll go hang out and we'll hopefully be able to enjoy the day. Many people with the day off for the holiday. But in the midst of that celebration, let us remember how and why we celebrate. Let us remember why we have the freedoms that we have, and let us remember that there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother, and his name is Jesus. We pray this today in his name. Amen. Okay, so if we've learned that the word of God was not given to be hidden, the second truth I want you to get down now is this. Obedience to God's word reveals that we are likely members of God's family. Now, when I wrote that point, I did not have the word likely in there initially. And I kept reading it and I kept thinking, something's wrong. This doesn't, when I write these things out, I typically want to get all of that done and then let it sit for a bit and then start filling in the skeleton. But I like to do that fairly early after I've read it and read it and read it and gone to the original, and I'll write these sort of core truths that I just want you to try to jot down and remember. And I kept reading it. Obedience to God's word reveals that we're members of God's family. And I got to thinking, wait a minute. If you just read that, you might actually think, well, if I just do the right things and mostly avoid the wrong things, I'm part of the family of God. And that's not at all what the Bible teaches. In fact, the Bible teaches you're saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. And that not of yourselves, it couldn't be of works. Because if it was of works, Paul told the Ephesian believers, we would boast in that. Look at me, look at me. And so in sharing the gospel, what I found most people think, if my good outweighs my bad, surely I'm okay. But they only think this when it comes to things like religious faith. They don't think that way in the real world. I'll give you an example. Imagine that you decide you want to drink, but you're really not a drinker. So you live it up tomorrow on Memorial Day and you drink too much and you get behind the wheel of a car and sadly you cause an accident and somebody's killed. An innocent driver in another vehicle is killed. This is not an unheard of thing. Unfortunately, statistics prove that tomorrow this will be a high likelihood. And you kill someone and you go before the judge, you go before the court and you say, listen, I am really, really sorry. But I've driven thousands and thousands of times. I've been driving 20, 30, 40 years, and I've never been drunk and drove a car before. This is my very first time, and so judge, jury, when you look at it, I've driven sober much more than I've driven drunk. Is that gonna hold water in a court of law? Of course it's not. How many times do you have to do the wrong thing to be convicted and sentenced? James, the half-brother of Jesus, we're going to talk about his siblings in a moment. James, the half-brother of Jesus, told us very clearly, if you stumble, if you break one point of the law, you have broken it all. Let's just go back to God's top 10, the 10 commandments. Has anybody in here ever lied? If you've ever lied, raise your hand real quick, real high. And if your hand's not up, you're a liar, right? You know that, y'all. You've stolen, you're a thief. You've looked lustfully, you're an adulterer. We could go through all of them. We've done them all. And we've done them all more than once. So all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so this whole good and outweighing bad thing, garbage, let it go. You come by grace through faith in Christ alone. But when you have come and trusted Christ as Lord and Savior, then obedience to the word of God is one of the clearest signs of Christian fruit. Now, I got to be very honest with y'all. You maybe heard me in the prayer say this. I struggle with this text a little bit in 19, 20, and 21. It seems a little harsh. There are some variant renderings of this in other episodes through the Gospels that say Jesus' family comes to see him, and it's almost like, hey, you let them know that if they'll obey the word, they're my family. And it's kind of like, ooh, talk to the hand. Come on now. Jesus, easy. Well, what is Jesus trying to say? I want you to process this in his time and in his way. Raised in a culture where family was preeminent and held together with the unbreakable bonds of blood, they would have been much more family-oriented than we are in individualistic America. One of the things that struck me going through the Holy Land is many homes, and it's not always just Jewish homes. Many times Jewish homes aren't built quite this way, but other homes around the Holy Land will have multiple levels, and the top floor will have exposed rebar and beams. And you say, well, why didn't they finish the house? And they'll tell you, well, that's for the next generation. And so you'll have the oldest generation here and then the sons and daughters here, and they get married and they have a family and they just build. So everybody kind of lives together. I'll be honest with you. I love our children. I love our granddaughters. I'm glad we don't live together anymore. I mean, one of the most beautiful sights to the eyes of a grandparent is what? Tail lights, right? I mean, come on, let's be honest. Let's be real with each other. We love them. But God gives them to you young for a reason. We play with them, we spoil them, we fill them with sugar, we send them on. And so in this day, this would have probably sounded, I don't know if the word harsh is correct, but I'm gonna use it, doubly harsh. It would have stopped everyone in their tracks. It would have been so pointed, everybody in the room would have said, oh, he just said something serious. My mother and my brother are those who hear the word of God and put it into practice. That concept would have been indelibly tattooed, if you will, on the hearts and minds of the hearers. They would have said, whoa, if family is really important and Jesus is saying that obedience to the word is even more significant, this is serious. Now, who were these coming? When it says that his mother and brothers came to him. Well, we know that Jesus had, we'll call them half brothers and sisters. Why? Same mother, different daddy, right? Y'all understand that. Where is Joseph? Most scholars tell us, because he's not mentioned in the text, after Jesus's fairly early childhood and age 12 in particular, we don't see Joseph anymore. He probably passed away. He's probably out, but we do know that Jesus had family. We know he had at least four half-brothers. We know he had additional sisters mentioned in Mark 6:3. And he's not denying normal familial relationships. He's not downplaying the importance of mothers and fathers, sisters and brothers, but he is stressing that spiritual relationships and the sign that we're part of the family, obedience, keeping God's word, these are key. So obedience to what God says really shows whose family we're in. And I want to say something, and I failed to do this in the first hour, and I regret that. We were distracted by a little rodent running around. Don't get weirded out. We have a mouse in the house. It's so funny to me that so many people are escaping to go spend thousands of dollars at a mouse house, but here we have them at God's house. They could have come here and saved money. And so we were a little distracted, but I failed to say something. You're in one of two families, period. You're in God's family or you're in Satan's family. I know you don't like to think like that. I don't like to think like that. I like to think, no, they're a pretty good person. They don't know Jesus yet, but they're a pretty good old boy. Not according to the word of God. No gray area, no gray matter in the middle. You're either part of God's family or Satan's. You're either in with him or the God of this age, little g, whose eyes are blinded, or who has blinded the eyes of those who would follow Christ, or you're in God's family. And right here, Jesus is saying, I'm gonna show you what reveals my true family, okay? And he's not trying to denigrate Mary or his siblings, but D.L. Moody hit the nail on the head. The great evangelist said something that I wrote down, and he said, there are very few who in their hearts do not believe in God. I believe that's true. I believe many have the wrong God, or they believe in a bunch of gods, little g. There are very few honest atheists. I don't know that I've ever met any whose atheism actually sticks. They kind of bleed into agnosticism. But Moody says, there are very few who do not believe in God, but they will not give him exclusive right of way. They are not ready to promise full allegiance to God alone. And I think he hits the nail on the head. Many a professing Christian is a stumbling block because his worship is divided. On Sundays, he worships God. On weekdays, God has little or no place in his thoughts. I think a lot of truth there. But Jesus said, as the good shepherd in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I want you to write some truths down. You ready? The Bible reveals that our deepest relationships are not determined by blood, but by the bond we share in Christ. Bond is greater than blood. In fact, for those of us particularly that have maybe moved and been away from blood family, our kin for a while, many times our family of faith is closer to us and knows more about us. And I love my family. Much of my family's in North Carolina. I have some family in Central and at the coast, and Cindy's family's mostly in Virginia. We have some extended family in other places, but I love them, and we love our families, but in all honesty, we're closer many times to our friends here. We know more about our friends here, and so the person closest to God is the one who obeys God and takes his word seriously. See, they want to get close to the incarnate God. They want to get close to Jesus. And he says, look, your mother, your brothers are standing outside. They want to see you. They want to be close to you. But Jesus said in 21, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. Now listen very closely. John 14. We sang from John 14 this morning, and Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. Listen to verse 21 and then verse 23. Jesus said, he who has my commandments and keep them is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I'll love him and manifest myself to him. And if anyone loves me, Jesus said, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So if God's word teaches us to know God's purpose in life and to know what he wants of us and to know what we can expect of him, then it is important that we do not have merely a casual interest in that word. Let me reemphasize and restate something I've said many times as your pastor and something I really want you to understand this morning. There is a fundamental difference between getting in the word and having the word get into us. And I believe the difference is in the trusting and the doing. This January, I started my 26th year in the Word. So reading a different Bible. I have the Henry Blackaby Experiencing God Study Bible. It doesn't have a lot of notes in it. It's not nearly as strong as I thought it would be. I have other Bibles I have preferred. Life Application Study Bible, MacArthur, ESV, Jeremiah, Tony Evans. There are a lot of other Bibles that I would likely recommend to you beyond the one I'm in. But it is helpful. It is interesting. And primarily, my concern is with the main biblical text anyway. But I struggle more. I've got the reading thing. I can study it. I can read notes. I can read other devotionals. Our pastors are reading a book. Our staff just finished a phenomenal book. We are going to be printing for you. Karen and I have discussed. We are going to put online all of our staff reading. We've read a lot of books together and some really fantastic works together. We're going to create a staff book portal of things that I have the staff read and things I have the pastors read if you're interested and you're a reader. If not, get Audible, man. Listen on the road. It'll be all right. So we're going to create that portal for you because I want you to understand we get into those things. However, the harder part for me is getting the word to impact how I actually live. And surely I can't be the only one. I mean, surely I can't be the only guy that struggles with actually obeying what I already know to be true. It's not a matter of knowledge that I lack when it comes to the Bible in most subjects. It's a matter of obedience that I lack. And it's kind of like sitting on the couch, watching an exercise video, eating Mayfield ice cream or Ben and Jerry's or whatever. I mean, it's kind of going to the doctor. Here's what's wrong, Bobby. Here's your prescription. And then I stick the prescription in a drawer and don't get it filled. I can't be the only guy in the room that knows the truth but doesn't always do the truth. But I would remind you, as I remind myself, God's word will essentially do nothing for you or anyone else unless it is applied. Implementation is the key to success. And success in God's eyes is all that matters in the long run anyway. A buddy of mine, he was an evangelism guy in North Carolina. I've served on a board with him. It was his favorite statement. Implementation is, where is that? D, we're on D. Yeah, God's word will essentially do nothing for you or anyone else unless it's applied. Implementation is the key to success. If you don't implement, I mean, it's just like talking about praying. Doesn't work if you never pray. It's like talking about working out, talking about, I could talk about turkey hunting or fishing or whatever it is, anything I love to do. We could talk about this and talk about that. But if you don't do it, you find no success. How many of you guys played a child's game when you were a kid called Simon Says? Anybody? Simon Says, raise your hand if you played Simon Says. Okay, you can put your hands down. Oh, hey, a couple of you played the game. Simon says, put your hands down. Who is Simon anyway, and how did that dictator get so much control of my childhood? I always obeyed him. I did it. I wanted to be the king of the Simon Says kids. I wanted to really prove that I could listen and obey. And if I'll obey some goofball named Simon I've never met, how much more should I obey a heavenly father who's made his will clear to me in black and white or red and white? How much more, when God says do and don't do, should we just obey? How much more? We don't question the fairy tale dictator. Why would we question the one true and living God who created us in his image? And yet I think we all struggle with that. And the message of the gospel, the word of God, must never be silenced or hidden. It must be proclaimed louder and clearer in these days of rampant relativism and cowardly compromise. There is a clear directive from our Lord Jesus. The lamp, which is the word of God, is lit. It must be placed high on a lampstand for all to see. There is no secrecy, and the better we hear and the more we obey, the clearer they see out there. Everyone should have an opportunity to know the truth and be transformed by the truth, and we know the truth. We don't have to be ugly about it. We don't have to be offensive with it, but we must go forth and share it, and especially when we're around family and friends, and especially in holiday season and vacation time. What a golden opportunity. We don't take vacations from our faith. We don't take vacations from Jesus. We don't live godly in this moment, and like the devil the next moment, we let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. That's what we do. That's who we are. And we are first to admit we're fallen, we're sinful, at times we're scared, but we have somebody that'll pick us up every time. We have someone that forgives us, that gives us another chance, that moves us on closer and closer to him. Listen, our family and friends know. If we're Christ followers and they're not, they know. Being a Christ follower doesn't make us better. They know that it doesn't make us this or make it. They know that we're fallen and flawed, but they need to also know that we're forgiven and free. They need to know that we have been forgiven and we have found a freedom. And that we are on a journey and we are growing and we are in the process of transformation. And we're not there yet. If we were there yet, we'd be standing in front of Jesus. We're not there yet. But they need to know that they too can be forgiven and given freedom. And the word of God was not given to be hidden. Find ways to insert God's truth in your conversations tomorrow. Find ways to insert God's truth. Obedience to the word reveals that we are members of God's family. And I put the word likely in there because, again, I don't want you to just be a moralist. I don't want you to just say, if I do enough of the right things and avoid the wrong things. That doesn't work in real life. That's not going to work for you. Your goodness doesn't get you into heaven. Your badness doesn't keep you out of heaven. It's paid in full. I'm not saying live any way you want. I'm saying trust God, and in the trusting of God, obey his word because you'll want to, not because you have to. I want to close with a commercial, an illustration. How many of you remember the movie? It came out over 20 years ago now. Tom Hanks, Castaway. Remember that movie? Okay, good. So he's a FedEx employee. I liked the movie. I thought it was interesting. He did a great job with that film, and they had Wilson, the volleyball. You know, he went a little crazy there at the end, but it was pretty amazing. You know, he had lost so much, and his wife had remarried when he got back, and there was one thing about it that bugged the snot out of me, and it was that package that he never opened. Y'all remember? And then he was going to leave it, and then the lady, it looked like maybe he was interested at the end. I don't know, but one thing that just killed me was we never learned what was in that package. And so FedEx, very brilliantly, for Super Bowl 37, a little over 20 years ago, they ran a commercial spoofing the movie. And let's see what was in the package.
was marooned on an island for 5 years with this package. And I swore that I would deliver it to you because I work for FedEx.
That's very admirable. Thank you.
Hey, but by the way, what's in the package?
Nothing really. Just a satellite phone, GPS locator, fishing rod, water purifier, and some seeds. Just silly stuff. Thank you again. You keep up the good work.
Don't you love it? That would have been a perfect ending to that movie. I believe the Word of God. I believe it Genesis to Revelation. I believe it is God-breathed, every jot and tittle, every comma and dot over the I. I believe every part and piece of it inspired, useful for correction, doctrine, reproof, training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I believe that there's the words of life right here. I really believe it, and I believe by living by this, you can have a full and abundant life here and now, and you can enjoy eternal life with God in a wonderful place He's prepared for us. I believe all of it. But if I don't live in accordance with that, it's no different than an unopened FedEx box. If I don't live in accordance with it, it's no different than what we just laughed about. Open it. Use the words of life here. See that God is the God of His Word. See how God's hand of blessing comes on us. Some of y'all are playing a dangerous game. I say in all love, when things are going pretty well for you, you want to party it up and be just like the world. And when things are really tough and hard, you want to fall on your knees and you want to rub God's divine lamp the right way and get your next blessing. And it's in and out and in and out. And I would warn you, eventually you will find that God is going to say, okay, if that's the way you choose to live your life, I'm going to allow you to do that. And your prayers are going to stop at the ceiling. Because if you regard iniquity in your heart, the Bible says He'll not hear. So in love, I want to give you that admonition. And I want to say to you that we have a very clear mandate. It is not super complicated. You can understand it. I can understand it. I would ask this of you this Memorial Day. I would ask this of you if you are out there somewhere, you're already on vacation or you're traveling and you're one that tunes in, many of you from other places around the nation and even the world. Thank you for tuning in. But as a congregation, as a body, we want to make a proclamation. See if you know how to finish the proclamation. You ready? This little light of mine, I'm going to stand with me.
Thank you so much for watching us today. God is doing absolutely amazing things in and through our Grace Baptist Church family. If you'd like to share anything the Lord is doing in your life, feel free to reach out to us through our website or our app. And if you're ever in the Knoxville area, come by and worship with us and our family of faith here at Grace Baptist Church.